Okay, hello and welcome everyone to a mystical journey to the Sacred Sites Global Summit, where we will all journey to beautiful sacred sites with healers, shamans, scientists, doctors, wisdom keepers, and coaches to gain wisdom and healing to self, the collective, and our divine Mother Earth. During the course of this event, you will learn that a sacred site is not only an external place or structure, but also our own body. You may have heard of the term, your body is a temple. Therefore, we will also journey inwards to access our internal sacred sites, for example, our sacred heart. You will hear experts talk about their own healing journeys and the work they are doing to raise awareness and consciousness of individuals, the collective, as well as raising the vibrations of our great spiritual mother Gaia to create more joy, peace, and abundance for all sentient beings on our beautiful and divine planet, our home. I'm your host and the creator of this event, Ami Sohi. And before we begin, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Jocelyn Starfeather for her tremendous mentorship and guidance during the creation of this summit, without whom I would not be able to present today. I'm also very grateful to all my family and friends for their unconditional love and support throughout my journey. And last but not least, I'm very grateful to all of you for taking the time and having the courage to be here today. So thank you. Without further ado, I'm very excited and thrilled to present Baljit Rayet. Welcome, Baljit. It's a great pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you so much for having me. And I love Jocelyn as well. So shout outs to
Oh, lovely. Yeah, she's a beautiful person. Okay, a little background on Baljit. Baljit Rayet is a certified sexologist, authentic tantra practitioner, Akashic Records consultant and teacher, intuitive mentor, DJ, and producer. Committed to raising the vibration of humanity, Baljit has worked with thousands of people worldwide to uplevel their lives by uncovering the truths of who they are to the core, creating profound results in their businesses and relationships. She believes everything in this world is energy, and getting to the root of desire by connecting people back to their sexual power causes powerful ripples that spans all areas of life. So Baljit's topic for today is connect to your sexual power and express your mission. So Baljit, can we start with in your opinion, what is sexual power?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So the way that I define sexual power is when you're actually connected to your sexual energy, you know how to use your sexual energy for the highest good. And when you're not connected to your sexual energy, you can actually misdirect that energy and it can go into lack and insecurity. It could put you in survival. And that also results in feeling disconnected to your bits and pieces, your genitals as well. So when you connect to your sexual energy, which is at your second chakra, and that's all about creativity, deep wisdom, intuitive, creative gifts and talents, you're able to use that fire, and that allows you to connect to your truth. And so it creates this embodiment, and that's what I define as sexual power. So you're able to redirect that energy. When we're not connecting embodied in our sexual power, it creates this disconnect of, it can fall into addiction, it can fall into different unhealthy habits and even like ailments in our physical body. And so there are many people that walk around that want to fulfill their mission as well. But then their bits and pieces, their genitals are so disconnected from their heart. And they may have physical pain as well and severe trauma. So when we learn how to reconnect back to that energy, that's so sacred, and rewrite the story of what that is, then we're able to embody in that truth of who we really are versus what was imprinted within us that actually doesn't belong to us.
Wow, that is, yeah, very powerful and so important to connect to that energy, you know, to really get to our power, expose our power, and to the truth of who we are. Wow, that's, yeah, that's really very, very powerful. So how does the sexual power, you know, relate to our mission?
Yeah, so, you know, if a person's not really like in their body or if they feel disconnected from their sexual energy, there is this disconnect of like always being your head or always being out of your body. And, or there's just this avoidance, you know, like avoiding that energy at all costs. So what that does is, you know, your sexual energy has all that innate wisdom and the creative fire, you know, that inspiration. And when you're disconnected from that, you feel kind of lost or you feel kind of confused. So then you end up, you know, you could be a person that takes a lot of courses, or just feel kind of lost or just in circles. It can create confusion. It can also create like a lot of stagnation where you just feel like blah, like you don't feel fulfilled and you don't really have a direction. So when you connect to your sexual energy and embody your sexual power, you just are very deeply connected to your deep wisdom and knowing how to serve your, you know, what it is that you're meant to be doing. You just have this innate knowing of like, oh, I want to do this. And this is how I know I'm meant to do it. This is how I know I'm meant to serve. And so you innately start taking action. And that's how you align to your mission. It's this inner fire that gets created because, you know, through so many things, it's been dampened, where we don't feel, it could be like shame or guilt or something where you don't feel safe to connect to your sexual energy. And so once you embody and allow yourself to feel safe in your body to connect to your sexual energy, it, as a result, the ripple effect is you start to align to your mission, you start taking action on your gifts and your talents. So for myself personally, it was such a journey because I was doing all this energy work and, you know, doing readings, but there was still this disconnect from my sexual energy. And as soon as I started to really connect with it, I started to shift how I wanted to run my business. And also the result of that as well is I started DJing and making music. So it was just like, you know, it all started to come together. And also relationships as well, like everything just started to harmonize. So you'll notice that, you know, as you embody your sexual power, you innately start creating healthy boundaries. And they're not barriers, they're just boundaries. And there's a difference with barriers and boundaries. Barriers is kind of like a wall, and that's still kind of like a trauma response. Whereas a boundary, you're just so in your truth that you just know who you want to interact with, how you choose to show up, and what you're not willing to have in your space as well.
Okay, so can you share with us what are the common blocks, you know, that you've come across that prevent us from connecting to this beautiful energy, you know, to our truth? So I know trauma, abuse, for example, sexual abuse can be one. So what other blockages, you know, have you come across?
So trauma, abuse, like sexual abuse, that's usually the common thing that we're mostly aware of. But the other thing, it could be from parental programming. I mean, God bless our parents, they're only doing their best. But we could have the subtle, you know, subliminal imprinting of like, don't have sex before marriage, or this is what's going to happen. So it could be imprinting guilt. And I've dealt with a lot of women, particularly from like East Indian backgrounds as well, South Asian backgrounds, that, you know, their parents told them to not even look at boys. And so literally they were programmed to not look at boys, and then growing up, not even think about men, and then have an arranged marriage or semi-arranged and then expect to have sex the next day kind of thing. And it's so traumatic because you go from one end to the other, and there's so much trauma in that. The other thing too, it can be cultural programming, and also religious programming. So like, how were you raised culturally? What did your culture teach you about sex and, you know, being a certain gender and the gender roles as well? That does contribute to your sexual energy, and that can may put you in a very people-pleasing responsibility where you don't put your needs first, where you keep repressing your own desires because it's like, oh no, I'm not supposed to put myself first. It could be religious programming. You know, what did religion teach you? And there's nothing wrong with religion, but there is and has been a lot of repression towards sexual energy where it's treated as a separate entity and not even connected. Like, it's like, this is a sin and we don't connect with that and whatever else. So then it builds all this shame and guilt in a person. And so by the time they're wanting to partner with someone, they all this guilt and shame can come up, and it can also result into like physical ailments as well, like cysts, herpes. You know, these are all detoxing physical ailments that show up because of the emotional trauma, I would say, that they developed through, you know, either religious or cultural programming. The other one can be societal programming. What did society teach you about sex in school, right? What did you learn in school? I know for myself personally, we weren't really taught much. It was like, you know, here's a condom and here's a pad and don't get pregnant. You know, there wasn't really much education. So having a lack of education can contribute to that, and having a lack of awareness is also a big contribution to the blocks. The other thing too, it can be transgenerational programming, which is ancestral programming. You might have programming like through your transgenerational programming through your mom's side of sexual abuse, and for whatever reason in this lifetime, you keep attracting weird situations with men, for example, and you don't know why, but it's so heavy and you feel so charged by it. That's usually because it's a transgenerational programming, because you're not only processing your stuff, but you're also processing stuff on behalf of your mom, your mom's mom, and so on, depending on how many generations beyond. So there's so many factors that come at us, you know, even like the entertainment industry, right? What did, you know, or how to body image, like what we're taught, how we're supposed to look like in order to feel our sexual energy, which is so disconnected. And so it can come from so many avenues. And once we're able to restore that, those programming, those templates just fall away.
I know, I understand it completely, the cultural background. I also grew up within a culture, you know, where, yeah, don't look at boys, you know, why are you wearing earrings, you're gonna correct, you know, attract my god, like, this is a bit over the top, you know. I can totally, so you blocked that because you think, oh god, this is a sin, even looking at a boy, you know, is a sin. So do you find it's more sort of common in the Eastern, you know, South Asian, Eastern cultures than in the West? Is that your experience?
Yeah, definitely a lot in the South Asian, Middle Eastern cultures that were raised in very strict upbringings, because it's a cultural thing, right? It's like, you don't do this, and women in particular are not allowed to, you know, be embodied in their sexual energy, or even the imprinting, like with South Asians, when, I mean, it still kind of happens in India where when girls are born, it's not really celebrated. That's a really deep imprinting. And so just even witnessing growing up, seeing you know, a boy be treated different than a girl, it's so deep. And I, for myself personally, I had to do a lot of healing through that, because that's how I was raised, you know, when I was younger. My parents are nothing like that now because I've done so much healing, but it's still there, and it's definitely deep in the South Asian community.
So how do you sort of, which kind of tools, how do you sort of work to, you know, lessen this traumas, to get people, you know, more access and to this power? What is the work? I know you do Akashic record readings to heal the ancestral trauma that comes with, you know, sexual kind of abuse, etc.
So there's a few ways of how I do it, and I combine it together. So I work in the Akashic records. And for those that are unfamiliar with what the Akashic records are the records of your soul. It records every word, thought, action, event. And it's like just receiving an intuitive reading that allows you to see what your blocks are and get to the root cause of it, and to be able to shift any limiting programming that may be there. So in regards to sexual energy, when I access the Akashic records, I'm able to see why someone's not connecting to their sexual energy. And so I look at the patterns, like, of what's going on, you know, overall, like they don't feel connected to their mission. Their relationship's not going so great, and their friendships, there's just a lot of leaky energy. So then I pinpoint, okay, let's go deeper with why this is all happening in different areas. And with connecting to the sexual energy, I'll just be shown the pattern, like the root cause, like, oh, this is coming from your dad, or this is coming from school, or the bullies, or whatever comes forward, and how it's playing out as an adult. Because on some level, it's like our inner child will override our adult self, because we're operating of like, we just want to feel safe in our bodies. And so I work with the nervous system as well to let, you know, that person know, like, hey, it's safe to be in your truth. And so once they shift that, they're able to really feel safe in their body. And then along with that, through authentic tantra, is that there are some somatic practices where the somatic practices involve touch, sound, and breath and awareness as well. So I actually get people to do kind of like a breath work. It's called ocean breath, but you're using sound as well. And just relaxing the nervous system, really coaxing the nervous system to be in a state of relaxation before even going to the touching, right? And the touching of the genitals. And then I'll even get them into the somatic practice of doing we call it orgasmic awareness practice, but it's basically vulva mapping. And then once you feel safe to do that, then it can go deeper into yoni mapping, going inside the vagina. But before we even go there, it's like we need to make sure that the person feels safe. And so what I work with is trauma informed as well. So I'm always making sure whoever I'm working with, that they're feeling safe and that they feel ready. And it's so fascinating because there's so many distraction mechanisms that can show up. You know, someone could be like wanting to talk 15 minutes about their day, and I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about your genitals, you know, and they're aware of that. So just how do we work with making them feel comfortable? So for everyone, it's very different.
Okay. And what, you know, in your experience, what amazing things have you found that once, you know, people access this power, you know, and are safe with their bodies, you know, what are the outcomes? What are the amazing things that happen?
Yeah, there's so many amazing things. You know, obviously I've had clients that are actually able to have an orgasm, or they can actually connect with themselves again. Wow. I've had clients that actually healed them, you know, if they had like an ovarian cyst, they're actually clear of it. So anything that's physical as well, they've been able to clear, because they understand that the, you know, any kind of physical illness, like your body's actually just trying to tell you something. And once you pay attention to that and you restore it, and listen to your body, you're able to heal. I've had a lot of people that wrote books, like it's so wild. I have so many clients that end up writing books and have launched their books, and now they're selling on Amazon and other places. So wow. It's been so wild to witness that. And then the deeper part is that they're actually sharing their story. They're actually being like, this is what happened, and this is how I'm choosing to support other people that are kind of going through the same thing. I've had people create new programs, or they become more clear on like how they want to serve, you know, and helping others. So some people have gotten super creative in their artistry. Like it's for everyone, it's so profound. So I've witnessed a lot, and it's super humbling to witness and just see them like soar. Yeah.
Wow. So sort of, you know, a rebirth for some people, right? Some of your clients. Wow. That's amazing. When people writing books, once they access that power or becoming the artist, you know,
it's an ability thing. Like what it boils down to is, do I feel safe to feel visible? Right. And so embodying sexual power also means I feel safe to be visible, to be seen by others, and to be supported and respected by others. And so there's so much programming that we've taken on growing up about being seen, and anticipate usually the worst when we allow ourselves to be seen. But once we release that belief that, you know, whether we choose to anticipate the worst to happen to us or whatever the programming is, that embodiment, you're just like, oh no, I feel safe to be seen and to be heard, and I'm going to express myself. So it's this expression as well that comes forward.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. And I know you're doing this tantra, you're an authentic tantra practitioner. How did you get involved in that? How did that all come about?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, I was introduced to authentic tantra like years ago. I actually know the founder, Davy Ward. And that was like back in 2011. And I started practicing it just a little bit in 2012, 13, and then I just kind of left it. And then I was already working a lot with sexual energy, doing programs up until now even. And somewhere around 2020, 21, because of the pandemic, like it was interesting. I started to get a lot of women of color, a lot of South Asian women in particular, that were like, my marriage is not working, or I'm ready to face this because I haven't been able to have an orgasm. I'm finally ready to face that I was sexually molested as a child and I haven't been able to heal it. Like very extreme cases. And I was like, wow, I'm like, okay. And as I was working with them, I was like, okay, this is great. We're working the Akashic records, but how can I support them to embody on a practical level? Right. And like when we're working in the Akashic field, we're in this energy, but you know, the other thing is how to work with trauma on a deeper level. So I was like, I need to know and understand all the bits and pieces of the genitals, you know, all genders, like male, female gender, and understand that. And also how that works and how does that connect with their nervous system? How does that connect energetically and emotionally? And so I all of a sudden came back to authentic tantra, and it was right when authentic tantra became certified or actually accredited by the government as the only school for sexual healing modality. So I was like, well, sign me up then. And so the first stage, you're actually hiring a mentor to work on your stuff. And I realized that I personally still had a lot of internalized racism and some stuff that I needed to work through. And I was like, wow. And I really did need to work with a woman of color to help me move through my stuff on a deeper level. And that was super important for me. So that triggered the the innate knowing of like, I need to learn this and teach this as well, because there was so much profound depth that I was then able to bridge the Akashic records with the somatic practices. And it was also an embodiment for myself. I've always known that I was meant to teach stuff around sexual energy, but there was always this thing about back in my head of like, what's my parents gonna say and whatever. But yeah, like my dad knows, he's cool with it. Like it's so wild, because I cleared so much that the byproduct of that embodiment is I'm not getting the reaction that I thought I would get of the shame. It's like, oh, cool, good for you. And I was like, thanks. So that even created more healing and invisibility of like, oh, it's actually safe, Beljude. It's safe to move forward. It's safe to be seen and share this information, specifically and especially with South Asian women and men, and also other cultures as well that go through similar things.
Wow, that's really, wow, that's, yes, so much wisdom in that. So it helped you heal. So through your healing, you know, you could help others. It was also a big realization for you that you also had.
Yeah.
Racism, you mentioned some kind of issues. So it's so important. You know, I always say we need to heal ourselves first before we can heal others. And that has a ripple effect. Once we heal others. And as a collective, we heal our great mother. You know,
it's an ongoing process. Like, nobody's perfect, right? Yeah. Our perfection is, you know, what we move through. And so when we honor that process and we know that when we do this, it's like, oh, this is why I'm receiving this wisdom, because I know I'm meant to share it. And when we look at it that way, it just, you know, like you said, for Gaia, like it's so needed for sure.
Oh yeah, especially in these times that we're going through. Yeah, it's greatly, greatly needed. Yeah, so it's really great what you're doing. Yeah, it's fantastic. So are there any, what kind of tips can you give our audience, you know, who are trying to connect back to this beautiful power within their bodies?
Yeah, the first step is awareness. So it's like, there's so many times where we don't realize that we're disconnected from it, or we think we're connected to it, but really not. So I would highly recommend to get a journal and write down, like, you know, what's my relationship with my sexual energy, and how do I connect with it, and how do I disconnect with it, right? And then after that, the same thing, like, what's my relationship with my genitals? How do I feel about my genitals? Do I connect with it, or how do I disconnect with it? Am I afraid of it? And so just automatically, like, write down automatically whatever's coming through for you. And I would recommend that as like the very first step to just bring awareness. Awareness actually brings healing, and it will energetically send a message to the universe to whatever that next step might be of how to connect deeper with it. You know, because it might not even be through me, it could be through other modalities and methods that support you. So writing down and just having this awareness and facing it, you know, especially if you're in a relationship, and I know that can be challenging, and being super compassionate with yourself. I call it compassionate detachment, where you're compassionate, but you're detaching, you know, putting yourself in the washing machine and having a pity party of like, oh, I know I'm so disconnected and this sucks, whatever. It's actually being like, okay, I'm aware this is going on, and I know this brings me an opportunity to go deeper. So what is that next step? And then the next step could be hiring someone, ideally that is a professional, that's trauma-informed, certified as well. It's really important, because sexual energy and working, especially if you've gone through sexual trauma, it's such a very deep, gentle topic and needs to be treated in a very sacred way. And so finding a professional to work with you is really important in order for you to come safely back into your body. And there's a lot of misconceptions around what Tantra is or whatever. So do your research and understanding what that is and finding something that works for you to feel safe and connect back into your body. For some people, it might just be to do like a static dance, and that actually builds the fire in the body into the sacral. So really listen to that. But at the beginning, I would highly recommend to start with the writing and bring in awareness of where, how are you connecting with it and how are you disconnecting with it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow. Yeah, you mentioned dance. Dancing is a great way of connecting, you know, to your body and the sensual, you know, organs of your body. Yeah. So with regards to the sexual power, you mentioned the chakras. So it's the root and our sacral chakras, right? Those two are connected to the power.
So the sacral chakra, as you know, is the second chakra. So that's where our sexual reproductive organs are. And it's connected to creativity, our deep wisdom, our sexual energy. And then we have the root chakra, which is all about security and well-being, right? So it's about safety there. And then we have our solar plexus. And so that's all about power and being in our power. And then we've got our heart, our throat, and third eye, which a lot of people are connected to, more of the upper three chakras. But what happens is if there's a disconnect in either the three lower chakras, like even with the solar plexus, I find, and I've noticed this a lot, when the three, either one of the three lower chakras, meaning the solar plexus, the sacral or the root, is disconnected or in, you know, in disharmony, they start to kind of operate all together in a reversed way. So the solar plexus goes from power into control, or the sacral goes from, like, you know, creating into manipulation and fear. We store a lot of fear in there. Or the security and well-being in our root chakra goes into survival and lack and insecurity. So when you feel insecure, that's actually more of a root chakra thing that's going on. And fear, feeling like, you know, and even like manipulation, it could be being manipulated by others, or you're manipulating yourself. It could be subconscious or conscious. That's all sacral. And then the control bit is all the solar plexus. So once you start to connect all three, and understand that the fire starts to build in there, you're able to move it up to the heart chakra and meet those energies all together. When they're disconnected, it's actually disconnecting you from your heart chakra. And so that's where the misdirecting your sexual energy comes from.
Oh, wow. That is, wow. I didn't know that.
I just saw you go cross-eyed. Yeah.
Thank you for explaining that. It was, wow, that was very powerful. Yeah, thank you. So is there anything you want to sort of do with us today for the audience?
Well, I'd like to do a cord cutting meditation. I can do it. Uh-huh. Do that.
Okay.
Cord cutting meditation, because I feel like this will be helpful for, you know, just cutting cords with energies that don't serve you. So I'll just take you on a little journey. And you can either keep your eyes open or you can keep your eyes closed, whatever's comfortable. And just sitting comfortably up straight. And just taking a few deep, big breaths, grounding your energy into the heart center. Bringing the energy down into the heart, into the solar plexus, down into the sacral, to your root, down into the ground, connecting with Gaia. I want you to visualize yourself walking down a golden pathway. And as you walk down this golden pathway, you're heading towards a sacred temple. And this is your own sacred temple. This is your womb temple. And as you look at this beautiful womb sacred temple, notice how it looks like, the size, the shape, the colors. You arrive at the gate of the temple and you're greeted by your higher self. And your higher self opens the gate and you walk in. As you walk in, you look around your womb sacred temple. And you head to the center of the womb. Where you see a treasure box. Before you open up the treasure box, you ask your higher self, what is the gift that I need to receive today in order to release that doesn't serve me in my womb? You open up the treasure box and you see or feel or know what this gift is, and you pick it up, holding it in your hand. You take this gift and you walk over to a sacred fire pit inside your womb sacred temple. And as you hold this gift, appears across the fire pit, maybe the people, maybe a religious imprinting, cultural, transgenerational, societal, whoever, whatever comes up through that appears across from you. And it could be more than one thing. As you look at this gift, connecting to your heart, you ask yourself, what do I need to release in order to embrace this gift? If you're not too sure, take another deep, big breath in, grounding to the heart. It might just visually be shown to you, or just a feeling, a frequency. What do I need to release in order to receive this gift? Maybe you need to release the belief that you're never heard or seen. Maybe you need to release shame or guilt. Maybe it is resentment. Allow whatever needs to come up for you, even if it doesn't make sense. And as you look across the fire pit, in your heart, you share whatever you need to say to the people and the things across from you. It could just be sent as a frequency. And it can be, I'm ready to release you. I'm ready to release this belief. I'm ready to release this resentment. And I release this now. And when you're ready, visualize yourself releasing that belief system or thing that doesn't serve you, like an energy cord, transmuting it into the fire pit, which is also transmuting the cord that's connected to you, the person or persons, the people, the things that is creating interference. We're going to release that through all dimensions, all planes, all times, throughout all levels of consciousness, through every cell of your being. Taking a moment to be with this and taking a nice deep big breath in, breathing in love and forgiveness, and breathing out all the energies that don't serve. And as you look at the cross, the fire pit, just breathing in love and forgiveness for the person, the people, the things, and breathing out all the energies that don't serve. You look at your gift that's still in your hand, and you put it in your heart. And then you connect your other hand to your sacral, imagining this bridge from the sacral to your heart of this gift, allowing your whole body to receive the wisdom. As you now integrate this, you walk back to the treasure box to close the lid, knowing that you can always come back to this place whenever you need to. You look around at your womb, sacred temple, and notice that it looks brighter, maybe more shimmery, less dense and lighter. You give thanks for the wisdom of your womb, sacred temple. And when you're ready, you head back to the gate and exit the sacred temple, walking back out onto the golden pathway. And as you walk back out on the golden pathway, you're feeling lighter and brighter and more integrated in your body. And just taking a few deep, big breaths in. And when you feel ready, just slowly and gently open up your eyes. Wiggle your fingers, your toes. Notice how you feel. Notice how your energy feels.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Wow. That was so nice. Wow. I had chills, especially down my legs. Yeah. So feeling light. Yeah. Definitely feeling lighter. And I felt very safe in this temple, my sacred temple. Yeah. So our sacral chakra is actually our sacred site. Yeah.
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 Yes. Yes.
Wow, that was very beautiful. I thank you, Baljit, for that experience and journey.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. So I know you have a free gift to offer everybody. So would you like to tell us more about your free gift?
Yeah, so this is an activation. So very similar to what we just did with the cord cutting. And anytime that you need a tune-up, play this activation just to help restore your energy. Or if you feel like you are uninspired and you just feel tired and groggy and you need some sort of motivation or direction, this activation will really help you to kind of redirect your sexual energy and get connected back into your power.
Okay, so thank you. So for everyone, please go ahead and click on the link, which is available below the video that's on the portal. And please check out Baljit's website, her free gift, and please connect with her for the sexual energy activation. So yeah, she'll give you a great experience and a great journey to that palette. Yeah, so thank you so much, Baljit. Is there anything you want to share before we close?
I just want to thank you so much for having me. I'm very honored and just excited to, you know, to see how this flourishes for everyone that's watching and just deeply connecting to that. So just so much gratitude.
Okay, yeah, same here. Very, yeah, much gratitude, and thank you. And thank you everyone for your time today. And I wish you a wonderful day. Thank you. Bye-bye.